Greg Pogue, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Cold Hall. Joining us now on the F&M Bank phone line, it is Jim Wyatt, Titans, TennesseeTitans.com senior writer, editor. Jimmy, good morning.
Jimmy!
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. I got to tell you, it was it was a lot of fun being out at practice yesterday. I hadn't seen a lot of you guys in a long time, and, you know, we're a pretty tight-knit group, the Titans media core, you know, for the most part. And it was just good being out there in the sun and seeing you guys yesterday.
And it was good to have you out there. It's funny, I think about people who you cross paths with on a daily basis that kind of makes your day better. And I can't ever say that I've ever had a day go by when I don't see John Burton and I don't feel better about myself.
Oh,
he's got a way of bringing some positivity and lighting the mood. So I always enjoy seeing you, JB.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Oh, appreciate no, no.
I got to be here 5 days in
Greg,
a row,
Greg,
okay?
Greg, Jim White is our guest. Let him talk.
Yeah, now, if the poster came out there, people would be scattering.
I appreciate the kind words,
so
Jimmy.
Burton brings the people together.
Oh, that's what I do, man. That's what I do. I appreciate the kind words.
Well, where's it been around here? You're just an old grouch around here.
We got to bring the poster. We got to get JB. He wants to bring the folks together down on Broadway one night.
That's right. And that's JB coming. Down. We're going to organize that, my friend. A little media get-together before camp starts.
Hey, Jim, Saturday I got to sit close to your brother Vince and his wife and your nephew, and good to see them. And I'm thinking, you know, after this this mandatory mini camp wraps up today, training camp's not, what, late July? I'm thinking Omaha. Are you thinking Omaha?
Well, if Andy can make it to the championship series, I think I'll be there. That's the way I can't go this weekend, which would be a good time to go because you could do a Saturday and a Monday. But you know, I guess I'm spoiled. I was out there when they won it against Michigan, and I figure if I'm going, I'm going to go out there when they've got a chance to win it and to see that series. So I think if Vanderbilt can survive and get to the championship series, and I'll probably make that trek again. It's a haul. It's a good hard 11 hours going through St. Louis, Kansas City, and then to Omaha, but I hope to make that trip.
Well, obviously the mandatory minicamp wrapping up today. Actually, it kind of wrapped up yesterday. Just Vrabel talking today, really nothing on the field. Well attended, and I'll speak for myself, Jimmy, just being out there, it seems like there's a good buzz amongst the players in the team, like, you know, because I think based a lot on what I thought was a pretty productive offseason, when you look at the draft, when you look at free agency, the players, the new players coming in, seems like, you know, the vibes are pretty positive out there at St. Thomas Sports Park.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, a lot of ways, Julio Jones is kind of the cherry on top. I mean, I think when you get a guy like that, it just kind of reaffirms to everybody, hey, we're going for this. And I think that's the mindset. I mean, this is a good football team even before Julio Jones was added. But I really do feel like he maybe will cause people to look at this team differently, especially on offense. Defense, you know, there are questions. I mean, I know everyone's excited about the offense. I am too. But you know, the defense has some work to do. We haven't seen Bud Dupree out there yet. We haven't seen Caleb Farley out there yet. You know, there's some other guys that are working their way back. You know, Janoris Jenkins, I will say, just first day seeing him this week, I was impressed, you know, by what I saw. And what you're going to need is all these guys to come together. And that's kind of what training camp's for. And, you know, these guys got to get on the same page. You got to learn to play together. They got to stay healthy. There's certainly a lot of potential on that side of the ball. But if this team's going to be as good as everybody wants them to be, you know, you have to be able to stop some people too, and that's going to be one of the keys, is putting it together this in camp.
Jay Wyatt Sports on Twitter, fan of president of the John Burton Fan Club. Tucker McCann, are we going to have a kicker? We being the Titans,
yeah.
I transfer right to the kicker, and I love your keeping. You got to, if you're out there covering. I always thought it was funny. Why am I writing down what a kicker does in minicamp? But anyway, he's 12 of 17, 6'8" Tuesday, 6'9" yesterday in kicking sessions. Is he the answer, or is the answer out there somewhere else?
That, I guess that remains to be seen. To be honest with you, I kind of expected Blake Holmgren, and he was not out there for the minicamp. He was out there throughout the course of OTAs. don't know where he was, you know, past couple of days. I kind of thought he would be the guy that may emerge and would be kicking in some of these, you know, kicking periods. But he wasn't there, and that allowed certainly allowed, you know, Tucker to step in and have an opportunity. You know, I don't know. I don't know whether the kicker's on the roster right now or not. It's just, you know, Stephen Gostkowski, I know, is still – he lives in Nashville now. He's still hanging around town. I understand he still wants to kick, even though Mike Vrabel hasn't mentioned him in a couple of months. You have to think that a veteran that's done it before has to be, you know, at least on the radar. And, McCann has not kicked in a game. Hallberg hasn't kicked in a game. I just think you probably give these young guys a chance to show what they can do, and they've had a chance here in OTAs, and then you've got to think, okay, do we need help at this position? And I think that's kind of what the offseason is all about. 12 was, again, I feel funny, you know, tracking in mini camps and OTAs, but that's what you do because everybody's interested in that position. And I don't know that necessarily cuts it, in practice. So we'll see. I mean, I think that spot's going to have to be earned, and if somebody doesn't prove that they can do it in their mind, I think you have to go out and get somebody, and I'm just not sure where the mindset is at that point or how long you'll wait before you look at other options.
Deshaun Kizer, Logan Woodside, is there a true battle for the number two there?
Well, I think Woodside's a favorite. I mean, he's been around. He's done everything they've asked him to do and more, and gotten better. And he's shown leadership, you know, during the early portions of the past couple off seasons and gathering guys. And I think he looked sharp in practice. With all that said, I mean, Kizer's gotten better. I mean, and we didn't see a lot of Kizer last year. It was one of the strangest deals you can ever remember. And COVID's, you know, the reason for that is, you know, Kizer was on this team last year, but you hardly ever saw him. Like, he was working on his own by himself as kind of an emergency COVID quarterback, and then he'd come out at the very end, so you would just kind of see him in passing. Now you've actually been able to see him in practice, going through drills, running around, making throws, and you almost forget that this guy played in 15 games as a rookie and has some experience, something that Woodside really doesn't have. So I think Woodside is still ahead of him in that battle, but I think Kizer's had a good offseason, and and I'm kind of curious to see how he does in camp and in these preseason games.
Jimmy White is our guest, TitansOnline.com senior writer, editor. Jimmy, Taylor Lewan spoke yesterday. He hasn't been on the field, still recovering from that ACL injury he suffered last year. I thought it was smart of him to basically say, hey, I feel good, I'm doing a lot of cool stuff, but I'm not going to lay down a guarantee that I'll be good to go for camp. These ACLs, especially for big, strong guys like Taylor, are obviously, you know, you gotta keep an eye on it. But I like the fact that he didn't, you know, come out with any ironclad guarantees about when he'll be back. He'll be back when he comes back, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, and I think I was smart, because then, you know, if you have some kind of setback and you haven't, then there's not a panic that, oh, he says he's back at training camp and here we are a couple of weeks in, he's not back yet. I was just listening to the tape and writing something on him as the phone rang here. So he's, you know, listening to him, I mean, he has always been kind of a lighthearted, fun-loving guy, doesn't take himself too seriously, but you know, you could tell listening to him that, you know, he missed playing last year and it was hard.
Hell, he missed practicing. Yeah. How about that? An NFL veteran who misses practicing?
Yeah, so you don't hear that much. And sometimes from these OTAs, you'll see him, he'll bounce out and kind of watch a little bit. So he's chomping at the bit to get out there. You know, I think it's positive. His knee feels better. He's doing some running. He's doing some change of direction. He's kind of building up strength, trying to get himself right from a conditioning standpoint. Now he's just waiting for clearance. And kind of same thing with AJ, and probably the same thing with Taylor Farley. I mean, there's several guys. Same thing with Bud Dupree. I mean, you've got a lot of guys who have, they've kind of given them time, haven't rushed them, not going to bring them back too soon. And now we'll just see how quickly some of these guys can get incorporated back into the playing during camp.
What about right tackle, Jim? Who? Kendall Lamb, Raidens, Sombrello. Who do you think has the edge there?
Yeah, Sombrello, and that's another guy who has, you know, all these ACL guys have been slow. I shouldn't say slow in coming back. They've just taken their time with him. We haven't seen him. Raidens has worked all over the place and inside out, working in a number of positions. I think this is the time when you can do that, and I think that's going to help them in the fall, because if you're looking for game day rosters, you know, this is a guy who's worked at a number of different spots, and he can plug in. You can plug him in and play if he's not starting. So, I've been impressed with Lamb. I think he's looked good. He's worked some there, too. I think, obviously, Sombrero's going to be in that competition. I'm anxious to see that one, how that one plays out. That's obviously really the only true position battle on the offense starting 11. And I'll be curious how to handle Raidens from this point forward, because, again, he's worked at a lot of different spots because this is the time to do it. But at some point, do you try to lock him in, let's say, at right tackle and see if he can win the job? And that's something we'll find out in camp.
Well, you didn't draft him in that spot to sit him. Eventually, he's the guy. What about offensive coordinator Todd Downing? And you know, he was on the staff last year, obviously. How much of it is going to be the feel of him? I don't we even know yet until we get into training camp and maybe some of the preseason. But what his thought process, he certainly has a new shiny toy in Julio Jones, but no tight end loss with Jonnu Smith there. He just his feel for what are you thinking he's going to handle this thing?
Yeah, I think you're going to see, you know, some things are going to look similar to what they have in the past with Arthur, but I obviously think he's going to put his touch on some things as well. They're still going to run the football, but there are going to be games, you know, when they sling it around, and I'm curious to see how defenses, you know, prepare and defend the Titans. I mean, we've seen teams just stack the box on them, and Titans have been able to take advantage of that from time to time. And obviously, you know, you averaged 30 points a game last year and score over 30 points, I think in 11 of the 16 games. I mean, you're clearly doing something right. But I think the way you attack this year is going to look a little bit different, because teams won't be able to stack the box. So that's going to open up a lot of, you know, opportunities for Henry. And then they attempted to do that again, then you're going to throw the ball downfield. So I think it's going to be a week-to-week attack plan, and I'm curious to see how maybe he goes about doing that.
Jim Wyatt with us. I'm looking online, Travelocity. I can't believe you're going to drive, okay? I mean, you're packing like a mining mule. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, insult my intelligence.
Tell Miss Amy to fire up the private jet, and you'll be there in, what, an hour and a half?
It's a haul, I can tell you that. The last time I went, let me tell you a story. I'm not trying to get Husband of the Year award here, but it can be done. Yeah, you know, I always do a lot of crazy stuff. So I went out there last time in 2019 when Vanderbilt won it. It ended on the 26th, and my wife had a milestone birthday on the 27th of June. So I told her I was going out there. Hey, I'm going to watch Vanderbilt win this thing in two games. I'll be back on the 26th. We'll celebrate your birthday. Well, of course, Vanderbilt loses one of those first two games, so they have to go to a game three. So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm in the ballpark at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night when Vanderbilt's getting ready to clinch this thing, and realize my wife's got this milestone birthday, and hell, I'm 11, 12 hours away from Nashville. I'm going to miss her whole birthday. I'll never hear the end of that. She was nice enough to let me go. So I watched Vanderbilt win, celebrated, for a little bit, bought a T-shirt. Went back to the hotel, pretty much lay down for 30 minutes, and I got up and was in the car at 2 a.m. and drove from Omaha to Nashville. I was back here by 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the 27th. So it can be done. I left there after the game, pretty much after the game, and drove all the way back here. When she woke up, I was already south of St. Louis on the way home. So I get a prize for that, don't I?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Absolutely. All right. You leave it on Sunday, right? That's the 27th, a week from Sunday, right? And you want to come back Thursday, right? Monday, Tuesday, if necessary, Wednesday. American Airlines, $256. There's a layover in Chicago, a 3-hour layover. Let me find you something a little better here. $311 through Dallas. So I'm just telling you, man, fly out there on Sunday and fly back and Uber the rest of the way.
The problem I got here, because I can't ever plan for these, you know, you can't plan a family vacation for Omaha. My wife and kids aren't going for that. So I've actually got a vacation booked that's all the way up until Monday. I'm going to be in Yellowstone the weekend beforehand. So I've got to have to get from Yellowstone to Nashville back to Omaha.
I'm thinking Yellowstone to Omaha. It's about yellow. I think you're from Yellowstone to Omaha is further than here, right? To Omaha.
You're asking the wrong guy.
He's already checked. You've already checked.
Yeah. But that's a tough sell. I can't take the whole crew with me. I've got kids and a wife that got to be back. So I'll be going solo if I go to Omaha. And hopefully that'll happen. Hopefully I'll have a chance to get out there and, because I had a great time when I went last time, and so hopefully I get to get out there and do it again.
Well, I'm just telling you, man, I got you out there for under $300, okay? So, Jim, thank you, man, as always.
Appreciate it, Jimmy.
Okay, y'all have a great day.
All right, at Jay Wyatt Sports, man, just pumping you up big time.
Yeah.